I know what I know. Now you know what you know.
I know you know
we
it.
We know what we know. But none of us knows a thing about youth hockey.
Hello and welcome to the Youth Hockey Podcast, Season 4. Episode 2. We are rolling down into what I would call the dog days of summer, Coach and Lance. I would say
my
that
favorite.
No,
where did that term come from?
I believe the dog star in Rome would appear in August, which were the days that were the hottest, and I believe that's where the dog days came from. If you would like, I can Google it though, because I don't know whether or not my mind has turned to mush after having played so much youth hockey with my children.
No, that sounds very reasonable.
No, it's like the classical education.
Your etymology.
Well, the classical education is there. It just is. It just, you know, like it's 50-50. It's a flip a coin whether it's right. It's there, but you just can't tell about the validity anymore. I'm getting a little old. Yeah. So anyway, as the ice is beginning to soften, the kids are about to start practicing, I think, in many places. There's a growing excitement with hockey, and we've gotten some very good news about California hockey. Coach, would you like to relate that to the folks?
Yeah, I was just going to say that this current there's a tournament that is known as the what is the full name of it? I'm gonna butcher it. It used to be the Gretzky, but it's the Hlinka Gretzky tournament. It's a U18 tournament that is one of the big ones that's played under the IIHF, I believe. And so on the men's side this year for the U18 team, 7 California members. And these are all kids that are were 06 birth year. Just going to go through them. Our kids, Lance, played against a bunch of these kids. So it's one of the reasons why I actually paid attention to this is just, oh yeah, we remember that kid. And yeah. So anyway, it's one of the reasons I took note. I don't want to say that we'll be doing this all the time, but you know, a little shout out, you know, that we have talk about a lot of things of California hockey that maybe aren't that great. But California managed to put 7 players on this team. Just going through them real quick. Tanner Hendricks, a kid that's played for the Ducks, is one of them. A kid named Troy Pittner, who is, sorry, Tori Pittner, who's a kid I don't know, plays in the USHL. Trevor Connolly, a kid we know from Tustin, California, also playing in the USHL, having a great, has had a great career so far. Sometimes end up on the same ice with that kid in the summer. Colin Frank, a kid that's played for the Kings and the Ducks.
I don't trust kids with first names for last names. I'm not saying anything bad about the kid. I don't know him. Mm-hmm. But the first names, last names kids, that's, they spook me.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Freak me out, yeah. So I hope he has a great year, and I hope he has a great career.
Well, he's on the US U18 national
team. No, it hasn't stopped him, obviously.
Having a good year.
Obviously, he has overcome what I consider to be a debilitating thing.
Right.
But when people have like first names for last names, it just, I don't know, you know, but go ahead, please.
Yeah. Another kid, Aiden Park. I just want to say, my son's trained with Aiden Park over the years. He used to train with the famous Chinese coach that we all know and love. Our kids have all spent some time on the ice with him. A man who, what can we say about him? He definitely checks your pulse and yep, makes sure that you're in the prime place. And otherwise, you know, has innovations like stick handling in a parking lot with steel pucks that he's made himself.
Well, my kids love that guy. He was a very good coach down at the Bears facility for many years.
Don't know where he is. currently. I've heard he's been back and forth to China a lot. But anyway, I used to get up and do like an early morning skate that this coach was working at the rink, and he would have like a cheap, like $20 for 2 hours early in the morning. And he would apparently sleep in his car so he could be there to run the Zamboni and get that going. And this kid was often there, Aiden Park, real nice kid. Just want to say, been playing at Shattuck St. Mary's the last few years, and glad to see him make this team.
Oh, that Shattuck St. Mary's is a dump, though.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I visited it, man. That poor place. There's no money. You can just tell. The grounds are shabby. The whole place, it just feels like it's run down.
Yeah, and they get a lot of people there. Playing hockey of some sort. Oh,
yeah,
I don't know exactly.
I am, of course, kidding. I went there. It's one of the most beautiful places that a person can go. The fact that that kids are playing hockey there is just to add on to it, because, man, that is a gorgeous, gorgeous place to be. Faribault, Minnesota, never would have expected something that magnificent to just like pop out of the hills of nowhere. But man, if you get your chance to go to a tournament at Shattuck, or if you just get your chance to walk around, I think it's well worth it. Stay at the inn at Shattuck. Did you see
any fireflies?
Yeah, we did. It was nice.
Lots of fireflies.
Beautiful. Yeah, beautiful.
Well, before this becomes a full-on commercial for Shattuck. Yeah,
by the way.
At any particular time has this. Half the California team is from California. Let me just conclude and shout out to a kid named Chase Stefanik. I guess he was at Mount St. Charles most recently. Often described by people to me as the Shattuck of the East, Mount St. Charles. Quite nice institution for hockey there in Rhode Island. And so, yeah, there you go. 7 players out of, what do we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Shattuck of the East, huh?
Yeah, that has been the rumor. We could talk about that another time. But
Randy refers to the Bears as the Shattuck of the West.
Mm-hmm. No, that's the Shattuck of Burbank. They are the Shattuck. The closest to Shattuck you can get if you're in Burbank. I don't think I'm even going out on a limb with it that there, you know.
Well, we were talking about this the other day that Shattuck was supposed to
partner with CME.
Yeah, open up a branch in California. And for various reasons, I think the rumor was, or I'm not going to say who told me this, because if they're wrong, I would not want to call them out, but some people that I might have been talking about this too, about this
hockey individuals.
You can said that it had something to do with the CME and the school underestimated what it might take to get through the red tape they would need to open up a satellite campus. I don't understand that, because God knows there's a satellite campus for just about every university in under the sun somewhere around in California when you drive around. So I don't know, but anyway, it didn't happen. So no Shattuck CME campus.
Now, Stockton St. Mary, is that anything to do with the Shattuck system, or is that just that's a Catholic school?
I believe that's a facility for young adults that have maybe committed some kind of a crime.
No, I'm not kidding. This is Stockton St. Mary. There is a St. Mary's team.
I see.
Check out your My Hockey rankings. There was some. Maybe I'll just look it up for you.
Stockton St. Mary's.
You've never heard. Okay,
are you confusing that with Bakersfield St. Mary's?
No, I'm not. Just a second. My Hockey ranking. I'm gonna do it. I want to make sure, because the coach is laughing at me. And that's by the way, that's probably a totally work you deserve. But I thought there was. I honestly thought there was something, because there was something. But please, as you go forward, please go.
Well, there's not much else to say about this. I don't know if either of you want to say anything more about this.
Well, my question.
No, Stockton St. Mary's. There is a Stockton St. Mary's High School.
Okay. The high school team, you're saying.
Yeah, it's a high school, and I wondered if that had anything to do with Shattuck St. Mary's. obviously, you know, I must not. It's probably another religious school. But yes, there is a team that plays out of Stockton, and it's got a girls coach. And that's why we know it, is because I think we were invited to play on one of their teams that was going to a tournament. So gotcha. Coach, even though I do know that I'm not as hooked into the hockey world as you are, there is a little part of it when it's girls hockey that sometimes I've got a little.
No,
bit
you
of
got
a,
me there.
Yeah, no, but I wondered if you knew anything about
eagerly
it.
To anything having to do with girls hockey as I.
Yeah, no. And by the way, I don't even know if it's a big deal, by the way. I just thought it was interesting. You were talking about Shattuck St. Mary's coming down. I wondered if they pivoted and went up to Stockton in order to do their team. And I have no idea if that is the case, but
there's an awful lot of Notre Dames, you know, in the world.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yes, I know that. There are. Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's a similar type of thing where there's some religious affiliation behind it.
Yes. Yeah. But,
anyway. Anyway. All right. Well, yeah. So there you go.
California now, are there any girls on those teams? Coach, you said there were seven boys that made the boys team.
Were there any girls on the girls? That made the men's U18 team.
No, the girls. Wasn't there like a women's 18 team as well?
Well, okay. I know. I don't want to be glib about this. I know. Okay. I mentioned to you that that the women, California women, not having the same sort of impact. But the problem is the age groups are different.
Okay.
You know, I shouldn't say my son. There's a number of young women who played with our sons or against them in the last in the years when they were playing double A, like Pee Wee double A. And some of those women have done very well. They've got college scholarships and all sorts of stuff going on for them. One of them I know is in the USA system. And I was kind of looking to see if she had made it, and did not see her and did not see any California born players on the most recent women's USA team. But, you know, again, the thing about women's hockey too, is that because they don't have pros and juniors and the age groups are a little bit different, you got a lot of women who play an awful long time. And it's got to be very difficult to displace, to get yourself onto the U.S. women's national team, because there's women that are playing into their 30s on some of these teams, because they don't have the options. Although I guess you know, maybe for a future we can sort of track this new women's pro league.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds good to me. I mean, I am always interested in the sport developing, because my daughter is, of course, really loves the sport. So I love to hear about any of the new developments that are possible. Now, Lance, you promised us something that would be fairly.
I have a quick question for the coach on this topic. Mm-hmm. And the question is, you know, so what do you think, what attributed to this seven players out of California? I mean, do you think the talent pool's getting better? Do you think it's the coaching's getting better? Do you think a lot?
I only track the relative years and players that my son played with and or against. Since he's a late 05, we played with a lot. You know, like I said, some of these kids, we played with a bunch of the kids that were available last year, and the 05 year, you know, is and I think the 06 year next year as well are supposed to be two very, very good years just nationally. This year was a lot of people believe one of the deepest drafts that has been available in recent years, and that was players that were 05. Next year will be 06, and so we'll see if any of these players get drafted. I think some of them will. There's one kid we mentioned has an older brother who's an 05, and his, and that kid was drafted in the NHL this year, I think second or third round, I think. So, nice. Yeah. So anyway, now, of course, we could question where most of these kids played. How long did they actually play in California?
Right.
Let's not ruin a good thing, shall we, Coach? Let's just live with the feeling that the California system just produced a bunch of great players, and they all started there and ended there.
A lot of these kids did play in California up until 15, 16 in some cases.
Yeah, yeah. I know some of them. We've seen some of them firsthand. Yeah. Lance, you had a topic for us today. I believe you said, like I said, it'll rattle doors. It'll shatter your sense of what hockey is about. So please go ahead.
Okay. Well, see, as I mentioned to you guys, I wanted to go old school since we're now into the fourth year and how many thousands of episodes. So for people that weren't with us that very first year, I wanted to take us back and revisit some of the topics that I thought were good. So the first one I came up with is basically just has to do with, ice time. How much is too much ice time? And I'm talking, mites and squirts, basically when we first got into it, because what I had saw was my kids had a desire to be on the ice, and parents were always pushing their kids to get on more and more. And at least from my perspective, I just never felt like when I had to push my kid to get on the ice, it wasn't going to be very beneficial, and they weren't going to be as engaged that, the kid's got to want to do it and he's got to ask. And like I said, I think early on, I dragged him out a few times to get out there. And then I learned pretty quickly that, look, if they're not asking, I'm not going to take them because they obviously aren't interested, and that's, I think, what helped them they had a love for it, and it helped them stay engaged in the game, because there were a lot of kids who were really good and their parents were making them get out there 7 days a week. And then those kids, at the age of 14, weren't even playing hockey anymore. But I think the coach had a counterpoint to that. Correct?
I think I agree with you. You can overdo it. And I've said before, I definitely overdid it at least one time that I vividly remember, where I just had my kid play too much hockey, trying to get him ready for a tryout at a very young age that he really didn't need, that I should have not been concerned about whatsoever. And, he was on the ice too much in the off season. And now I will say after that, I always feel like I've walked the walk, and, I told people, yeah, your kid should do other sports. And I had my kid do other sports when other people were doing hockey camps, just doing an entirely different sport that didn't involve being on the ice at all. And we stuck to our guns, and, I feel like.
Well, let me ask you. That's a good question, Coach, because there's two types of people that you've got these parents who, by adult choice, are pushing their kids to do all hockey all the time. But then you had a situation, like my situation was kind of unusual. It was different, whereby by choice my kids wanted to do all hockey all the time. I mean, I wanted my one son to play baseball, and he played like a short season fall league. I thought he had a blast. I thought we had a blast, and yet I couldn't get him to go out again. I wanted my other son to play
in the kid's defense. Baseball is a pretty boring sport, Coach.
Right. Well,
my question is, what do you do?
I mean, he might have been a little bit more, like I said, he might have just been trying to train you, Lance, as like, okay, dad's having a good time, so I'll put up with this baseball.
Yeah,
what do you do, Coach? Here's the question.
We can't let Randy get away with this, demeaning America's pastime when he's having his kids do swimming in the summer and coming on.
Was I watching it?
Lance is saying how great swimming is.
Of course. But am I watching the swimming? This is the thing. I'm talking about a spectator sport here, Coach.
Right.
If you were watching swimming, I think you might have a couple screws loose. I don't think you need to watch swimming.
Have you been to a swim meet?
No, we never go there.
Everyone's watching. Trust me.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
By the way, and I the same with my daughter was really into gymnastics until it got to the time to be part of the team, and she wanted nothing to do with it. The minute it was competition based, she did not enjoy it. She's like, nope, and she quit.
Greatest thing that ever happened to you.
It was great. It was.
By the way, I want every water polo parent to write into Randy this week.
There's only like 6 people who care about water polo in the entire nation. So let's downplay that a little bit.
Well, I met one of them too.
It is. It's a great sport.
Whirly ball
is a fantastic sport. Pickleball is a fantastic sport. Coach, you can go down the library of sports. None of them compare to hockey.
This is what I've been saying. Yeah. I played a lot of these sports at one point or another.
I know.
I swam. I played like every type of racket sport you could play, pretty much. And
did you play softball, squash?
I played squash. I played hardball. Yeah.
Hardball's American.
You do both. It was more
European.
Like you'd play the softball in the winter. Or maybe I'm wrong about
that. I don't know what you're talking about, Coach. There's no winter, summer ball squish. We did.
There is in back east where I'm from. This is why I played squash.
You didn't even know where Stockton St. Mary was. I'm not taking this. I am not taking this from the coach. Lance, please continue.
Hey, wait a second. I want to say one thing. If you've never seen squash played, I recommend it highly.
I played squash in college. Videos. I was the 6th best squash player on the Reed College rankings. Mm-hmm. They gave me a little tag and you'd beat like people and you beat people. And then eventually you'd get to the point where there were people above you and they'd beat you.
How many squash players were there?
Reed College had squash players.
Did Reed College have a actual college team? Did you play?
The only team that Reed College had that was competitive was their croquet team, and I'm not kidding. That's the only sport in which Reed College actually played against other colleges. But they did have a nice athletic center, and the coach or the head of the athletic center was a handball guy. Court sport guy, and so he brought in squash, and so we played a lot of squash. That was the main sport that because they didn't have racquetball courts, they all had the gate at the bottom of them. So we would play in college squash.
Yeah, when you see people that are really good at playing squash play and see a match, you would agree, Randy, right?
Yeah,
it is a heck of a sport. Like,
oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
The skill that they play with and you look at a lot of balls and just go, like, there's no way that person's going back and digging that out of that corner.
Like pushing somebody up against the wall to the point where they can't even move their racket and winning a point that way. That's a glorious moment. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very vigorous, like, you got to be really good to be a good squash player, a good athlete. So yet we've digressed to the point where I don't even remember what this topic was.
So here, my question for you, Coach.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do when you have a situation where by choice, your child wants to live, breathe, and 24-hour hockey, skating, shooting, practicing, everything? Because I had that situation. And I can't tell you how many people came up to me and said, oh, you're just doing so wrong. You're doing such a disservice. Your kid has to do other things. And I'm like, I'm not making him do this. This is what he wants to do. I'd love for him to play football and baseball and squash. But this is his choice. And finally a coach told me, he's like, if this is what your kid lives and breathes and loves, then there's no harm in letting him do it. Because when he's tired and burned out, you'll know and he'll let you know and he'll take a break.
Yeah, I think, that's the difference. Like, there's one thing where you're actively organizing and keeping your kid on the ice all the time, which is very easy to do. If you have a ton of money and you have the will, but it's another thing entirely when the kid's going to you, I want to go to this, I want to go to that. So it somewhat depends on where you live. When you were talking about this, I was actually thinking about the Hughes brothers. And I think I saw something just recently about an article about their family. And, I hope people know that we're talking about the Hughes brothers. All three of them are in the NHL right now. And, starts with the oldest one being, what's the kid for the Devils? No, isn't the oldest one?
The oldest is Quinn, who plays for Vancouver. He was.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. And then Jack is second. Who?
Yes, I meant Jack. Yeah, Jack Hughes. So okay, I thought Jack was the oldest, but could be wrong.
Quinn played in the NHL before Jack got drafted.
Okay.
And then I don't know who's the third one after Jack.
Luke just got played some games in the playoffs this year. And so anyway, they were just saying how is it that you get, these kids that are all of which are pretty much, NHL superstars at this juncture. What did they do? Well, it didn't hurt that their mother was a national team player, I believe, and, helped them. That's exactly right. The mother was on the USA women's national team for some period of time. So that I'm sure that doesn't hurt. She helped, but pretty much they just said, well, they lived in a place where they could go out and play pond hockey, and they would just go out and play all day long, unstructured, have fun, learn the game.
Yeah, can I give you my sour grapes input to that too?
Yeah.
My sour grapes input to that is that I feel, and I could be 100% wrong, you guys can dispute me, but I feel the fact that Quinn, you're right, and Quinn may have gotten opportunities because of his mom, but the fact that he got into the NHL and successful, I truly believe opened doors for Jack and Luke that your son, my son, Randy's kids have never had an opportunity to experience.
I mean, that might be possible or might be probable, but the reality is that Luke is the only one that hasn't had a full NHL season under his belt right now. And the other two, they came right into the league and made impacts and were either the best players on their team, and they were on the national program. Yes. There's no doubt that having the name and the reputation can get you some notice that you might not otherwise have, but these kids can just play hockey. And I guess the question is, where did they learn all the stuff that they learned? Was it hours spent with a coach running them around cones, even if they love doing that and shooting, and practicing shots? Or was it all this unstructured, we're just playing with ourselves and our buddies? And I, to make it even worse, I think that their cousins are
it made me think, Randy, how many kids have probably played with themselves over the years?
Their cousins are the Tkachuks. So you've got the two Tkachuk brothers that are both.
They're not bad.
And so you got pictures. if you look into this, you'll see.
Yeah, they actually, I'm not saying I feel sorry for the kids, but yeah, they're not bad.
And Tkachuk, their father's a famous NHL player, so they were going to get that, NHL effect.
There are some people that come out of the shadow of that effect really quickly.
Yeah.
And I think the Tkachuks did. There are people that are in the shadow of their parents.
This is what I'm saying. So you can find pictures of the five of these kids back when they were, hanging out in the summers and whatnot, when they were like 12, 13, 14, whatever years old. And there's no doubt in my mind that all these kids spent an awful lot of time playing pickup, you know, shinny hockey on ponds, on little, you know, home ice rinks, whatever, what have you. And there's my concern about the organized part of hockey is that that there's always been a question of transference of skills. Where do you get it from? And certainly the people that grew up in the previous era where this just didn't exist, you know, amazing hockey players came routinely up out of the system of, we just play a lot of hockey. And we play a lot on a lot of pond. We played a lot of pond hockey growing up and played hockey, street hockey here and there. And we just played hockey. And there was no coach there telling us what to do. There was nobody running us through drills. And somehow we developed all these skills that allowed us to go into the NHL and be, you know, premier top tier NHL players.
You know, there's a famous speech that hits exactly what you said by some, I'll have to find the name of the guy, but he was like the head coach of Minnesota hockey program. And he said exactly what you said, is that that the parents and the coaches were always hindering the development of the kids when he was young. Where they learned to play hockey and where they excelled was getting out on the pond on their own, getting pickup games, trying crazy things, and nobody yells at you when you mess up, and you go back and you try it again and again until you got it right.
Yeah, I just think, you know, I experienced this myself as a kid, and I just tell you, none of this stuff existed for me, and yet I had moves and deeks and things that I learned. I didn't think about them. I learned them playing hours of just hockey with other kids my age and my friends. I never went to a, you know, I never did a stick time, or I shouldn't say that. I never did a clinic where I went through and just went and we did, you know, went through cones and did the same move over and over again. I just played a lot of hockey, and somehow it just, you absorb what works for you and you pick up moves.
That is the early 1940s and 50s that you're talking about, though. So,
yes,
you might want to modernize. But
I'm just saying, this is when
this is a long, long, long time ago.
Well, here we have a bunch of kids that are of the current era,
yeah.
And this is what these are kids that a lot of people would love to see their children have had that same level of success, and so it's worth questioning, like, what did they do?
No, I think you're right, Coach. I just think that bringing your own experience up is so far back in history that you might want to, you know.
Well, my son would agree with you, Greg. Yeah.
Because we're so old.
We're just out of ice. And,
yeah, my son thinks I am the oldest person he's ever. Yeah, go ahead.
No, he's gone to completely just flat out mocking me. At one point, yeah. He looked at me and he was like, "Well, I don't know what you think I should be doing here," and I'm like, I'll do something like this. And then he got this smile on his face and I could just tell he was looking at me going, oh my God, this guy can't barely even move anymore. What's he demonstrating here? So yeah, I get it. It was a long time ago. But anyway, I think that's the thing of California. I think we just, like, in a way, I kind of wish, from the hockey standpoint, that I'd lived in a place where my kid could have played a lot of unstructured hockey. It's just not an option for a lot of people.
But then would have never met Lance. And I thought you said that was a highlight of your life, hanging out with Lance.
Well, of course, everybody says that.
So. Yes, exactly. So, I mean, yeah. So don't insult us here, Coach, with your.
Well, that's for me. You know, that's for me. But as far as whether that helped my son's hockey career,
well, the coach just wishes we all grew up in an area.
There you go. That's a nice. See, Lance, you just bridged that so nicely. I should take notes.
Exactly. But by the way, I found it. If the listeners have a chance, I highly recommend that they listen. It's on YouTube, and I'm sure I'm going to butcher his last name, but. It's a speech by Don Lucia, who was, at least at the time, the head coach of the University of Minnesota hockey program. How long is it?
Yeah, how long is the speech?
It's a 9-minute speech, but it's pretty darn funny and it's very informative.
Well, if you want, I can take the audio and just like you know, put it in right here. I mean,
just replace,
like,
yeah.
Just like at the end of this episode, I could just like slot that in.
Yeah, if you want, like I said, it's on YouTube, and I've listened to it many a time, and it's pretty, like I said, it's pretty interesting. But that's where he talks about exactly what the coach said, is that, you know, he learned to play hockey. He learned to play hockey, you know, on a pond with all his buddies and not having structure and people telling him that he did something wrong and yelling at him for trying different moves.
Right. Yeah. Well,
Value in each of these, you know. I think different kids also. I mean, some kids want the structure, some kids don't want the structure. I think when you look at your son or daughter, you have to just, instead of like putting a mold over what you think they should do, I think you have to look and listen to what they are actually saying and see whether they're the kind of kid that does want a coach out there telling them what to do, or whether they really don't and they just want to play with their friends, or, you know. I believe that the kids very often are telling us something. I don't believe that always the parents are listening. I've been there in conversations where the parents are definitely not listening. And when I hear that at a rink, I often find myself, you know, writing down little notes and saying, really, we should talk about this on the podcast, because it's those mistakes that I think are blunders that get in the way of your relationship with your kid, not just the hockey, but it getting your way in a bigger way. And so if those things can be addressed and you can be ready for them, I think it's bigger than youth hockey at that point.
What? I got little story I want to tell that.
Please.
Literally, I witnessed this past weekend. Was at a rink at a stick time, like I was saying. My son's old enough now where he basically runs, you know, can do a full workout himself. I go out and help pass some pucks and things like that. So we're in this rink and we're waiting for the stick time. Before that is a coaching session. Bunch of coaches out, you know, each sort of getting a quarter of the ice type of thing. Kid comes in to the locker room. I could just tell the kid was seething. Father outside the locker room, something's going back and forth between them. I can't tell you I heard, you know, what was said or anything, but my spider sense was telling me this is a dad who's annoyed at his son about something. This kid's come off the ice. He's left the session and there's maybe still 15, 20 minutes to go. Kid puts his stuff back on. I hear a little bit of, like, you know, sort of angered voices going. Kid goes back on the ice, comes back. Then finally the session's over, the Zamboni's on the ice. And I hear this conversation that happens. The kid that was, that had come in, that was upset, had again come off. And a friend of his who was on the session came in and they had a brief conversation and it went something like this. The kid said, I've had enough of hockey. I'm sick of it. I don't want to be doing this anymore. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but that was the gist of what the kid said. His other friend was like, hey, well, what's up? Like, hey, man, you were playing real good out there. And the kid was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And it just occurred to me, okay, well, maybe I'm missing something here, but I get the feeling that this is a parent who was upset with his kid over something having to do with their performance in this thing or their effort or lack thereof, whatever, to the point that the kid came off. And here's a kid, and we're talking about, I mean, these kids are probably either peewees or maybe early Bantam, but I want to say probably a peewee age, so 12, 13. And you're hearing a kid going, I'm doing this thing that's supposed to be fun and I don't want to be doing it. Like, I've had it, I'm done. And I think it's just way too easy to get to that point, especially when you're a parent and you're paying a bunch of money for coaches and stuff to be involved in that, and you're watching, you know, you're watching all the sessions with eagle eyes out there, and you know, maybe
it
you're seeing
all the fun out of it.
Yeah, you're seeing, you know, and I've seen this happen just way too much, where it's just a kid who gets to the point where there's no fun in it at all. Like that's what I got from that kid. That I almost wanted to say to him, you know, I almost wanted to talk to the kid and say, hey man, you know, what's that? I just, you know, it wasn't my place to interject into this whole thing. But again, I could be wrong, but I really got, you know, I saw it when I saw it happening, I was thinking, this is an angry father who's mad at his kid about effort or something else going on. And the kid's left the ice and then, you know, begrudgingly goes back. And then when the dad's not there anymore, is telling a friend, I don't even want to play hockey anymore. You know,
I have a story about a 9-year-old girl who I'm listening to her father berate her on the way out of the ice rink. How many times did you possess the puck? How many times you skate the puck up? And how many shots did you take? And this little girl is 9 years old. So none of this is something that she should be worried about in the slightest.
Yeah.
He's looking for countdowns.
He's like, do you know what your Corsi was?
Exactly.
It's as bad as your Fenwick.
Oh my God.
You are not possessing the puck.
I still remember, I mean, to this day, I remember this dude. I'm just going to call him, I'm not going to say.
Dude.
Yeah,
call dude. Dude.
I'm just going to call him dude. But I'm going to like, come on, dude. This is a 9-year-old girl who's looking up to you because you're her father, and you are spitting down on her your contempt for her play in a 9-year-old hockey game. If you feel like you're ever getting there, parents out there, if you feel like it, take a couple games off, watch them on Live Barn. You'll realize how terrible Live Barn is, as the coach has said many times, and you'll want to come back to the rink and be happy. It might just be a good little break for you and your little precious kid.
If you're really loving watching your kid play hockey too, don't be surprised when they go, yeah, not feeling the hockey anymore.
Yeah, you know? That happens.
Let me ask you this, Randy.
Yes, sir.
Now this is just my observation, but you know, I'm thinking back now over all the years, and I've seen my share of kids who just, you could just tell by the body language, the attitude, they just did not want to be there. But the interesting thing that I noticed was that over the years, the majority of them always seem to be goalies. Like the parent, I can name dozens of kids who the parents like insisted they wanted their kid to be a goalie. And you could just tell when they were on the ice in games, they didn't even want to be there.
we can review the session notes that say that goalie parents are generally the craziest people at the rink, and the fact that goalies as well are generally the craziest individuals on the ice. But I don't even know if we need to go there today, Coach.
I think it starts the problem is it's such a role reversal for goalies in the early years. Every team needs the goalies. You know, goalies have their pick a lot of times, and you don't even have to put in any effort or be good. There's teams out there that, you know, has a whole team of good players, but they just don't have any goalies, and they're, you know, coaches are calling around desperately, please, you know, would you come down? You know, we really need a goalie. I like, your kid will start every game, I'm promising you. And you know, I know these stories of teams that were actually pretty good and they just didn't have a goalie.
Do you remember that one guy that was like telling us that his son was like nationally ranked as a goalie?
Yeah.
This kid couldn't stop a puck to say he was the second goalie on our team. Now, folks, our team was not at the greatest team in the world. And he was the second goalie on this. And the father kept on talking about how he was nationally ranked.
National rankings.
Yeah, we really don't know why.
Where are these rankings?
Remember, Randy, I always told you that story of the goalie on our team where the dad would come up and say, you know what, my son is like ranked the number one goalie in the state.
No, that's what we're talking about. We are talking about the same guy. I guarantee you we're talking about the same guy.
His son wasn't the number one goalie on the ice.
No, right. His son wasn't the number one goalie in his age group in-house.
Yeah, there was you know, probably a defenseman or two on our team that could throw the pads on. And
who would eventually overtake him, or after a couple of sessions would overtake. And this dude was absolutely saying that. I just loved it.
Well, I think it's a nice thing for a lot of people to have their kid, you know, to be something that people are courting you to come play. Where so many of us are like, you know, our experience is like, oh, we got to go to the tryout and we're strapping and scraping to get, you know, I'm going to get my kid and hopefully he's going to get up on the second line and all this.
Lance doesn't understand anything you're talking about, but
yeah, I know. Yeah. So anyway, then, you know, you fast forward to a few years later and you start seeing these stories of, yeah, you know, we went to this NHL team camp and it was the main camp. The first day was the goalie day. There was 37 goalies on the ice. And this was just to try and make it through the main camp. You know, they cut 31 of them that first day. We went down and we spent all this money to go to a camp and there's 37 kids on the ice. What chance do you have? And so, man, the gauntlet starts to close up.
It's brutal.
Your kid gets older and it becomes very, very difficult for goalie parents. So,
now, you know, do you guys mind if I do a final segment here? It's a new segment. Do you mind if I introduce something kind of on the fly?
Yeah.
Is that okay? I love new segments.
Okay. On the internet, they have this thing called AITA. Am I the Asshole? Where it's a forum where you talk about, what you've done. And then people judge you.
It's Reddit you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a big forum.
Right. I would like at least one story from you gentlemen, which was IDWTA Youth Hockey Edition. I definitely was the asshole. So go back in your own thing. We're not asking people to judge us. We know that we were the asshole in that moment. Is there anything that you can remember in your own experiences? And if you don't, I have one myself. I will be the asshole. I don't mind being the asshole. You have one?
Oh, here we go.
Do you mind?
Oh, of course.
I didn't think Lance could come up with one, to be honest.
Well, Lance is not an asshole, but if he's willing to go there, I really am interested. Go ahead, Coach. Go ahead, Lance.
I had one. I mean, you tell me. Maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought I was.
IDWTA Youth Hockey Edition. Go ahead,
Lance. The coach can relate to this. There was this ref that always seemed to ref our game. And he was the worst ref in the world. I mean, every call he ever made was the wrong call. And so here we are in the middle of the game, and our team is down by a goal. We shoot the puck. The defenseman on the other team bats it out of the air and into the net. And the head referee immediately called no goal. And he came running up going, no. And he told him it was a goal. It's the defenseman. And he's arguing with this guy and he's right. Right. And so they huddled up and the head referee overrules him and says, no, it was the offensive player that put it in the net, which we had it on video, was the wrong call, and waved off the goal. So when the game was over, I walked up and I can't even remember his name, but I'm going to call him Smitty. And I said, hey, Smitty. And he knew who I was because he ref almost every game. I said, don't you find it ironic that in the entire time you've ref our games, you've never got a call right once. And the one time you got it right, they overruled you. I said, how ironic is that? And I walked away.
Nice.
Yeah, that's an asshole move, Lance. Well done. But I think you explained
yourself
pretty
well. Was there any response,
though?
I mean, or did he just sit there like aghast?
He just kind of smirked and walked away. Didn't respond. Randy?
Yeah. No, I mean, if you have to ask, generally you were the asshole. And I would have to say that that's a good representation of being in the moment. Basically, you were in the moment, and I don't think that's your fault. I don't think you're the biggest asshole. I've seen much more kind of things going on in hockey rinks,
You mean like barely... moms slapping daughters in the face during the middle of the game?
Yeah, there are some really bad ones. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, you have a much
I think we wait. I think like this is like we start with Lance in this episode. Next episode we'll go to me or David, and then the final episode we'll have all three of us will have been assholes for something.
Oh man, is that acceptable? That's a big tease.
Well, yeah, that's what we need. We need to have like, oh, next time I get to find out what kind of asshole Randall is, and that'll I think people will be hanging on the edge of their seats. If you don't mind, I'll jump. But if you don't mind, I'll wait.
Keep everybody.
Okay, cliffhanger.
Can we mention other people, yeah. Randy?
Thank you. Yes, you can mention whoever you like.
I was saying because I have a couple of instances. Remember on the Maple Leafs where there were some assholes.
Oh God! Yes. No, I think it has to be we. I think we have to be the ones in it so that we're showing that we did not do. You know, like we're not preaching at people to be great people, and we're always the best that we could be. Either we're not. It's hockey. It's kids. It's a lot of emotions. We all do bad things. We noticed when other people do bad things better than we notice ourselves. However, we also notice in ourselves and we try to correct that. So for the Youth Hockey Podcast, thank you for listening again to episode number 2. If you have any comments about the new bumper music, which both of Lance and Coach say is perhaps the best bumper music they've ever heard. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's just gorgeous. It's like they still haven't heard it. So if you have a chance, please email us at youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. Of course, you can always rate us at Apple Podcasts. If you mention the coach's name, ding, 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 you'll get a mention on the show. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Remember to visit Gabe Gifford Hockey. The link is in the description and the webpage below.